It's August now, with the song slowing down, this podcast could get rough. One month till Labor Day, and I'll still be here, but will that really be enough? So sit back, my friend, I've got new songs for you. Today we'll hear from Shad. Does he speak in haiku? Here comes another TK Jingles podcast show, supported by babies, annoying old ladies, and it's just so-so. I hope you like it though. Ready, set, go.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the TK Jingles podcast. I'm your host, Jerry Negrelli. We have another exciting episode for you today, featuring an interview with Shad a little bit later. This podcast features songs from the Tony Kornheiser radio show and TKJingles.com. Lots of really silly, stupid music. I hope you enjoy it. You know, if I had a dream job, it would be Neil Diamond impersonator in Las Vegas for 2 hours singing those cornball songs. I love it. I think it's well-suited for my voice. It's music I grew up with. I just love doing it. So I hope that intro wasn't too unbearable. Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show. Anyway, so I also, before we kick this off, I wanted to thank you. You know, typically the TK Jingles podcast is downloaded about 1,000 to 2,000 times a week. And the episode with Gary Braum was downloaded 10,000 times. And so that's just crazy. I mean, I've been doing this for 2 or 3 months now. It's to reach that number of listeners, obviously folks are really starving for Tony to come back, that they would listen to me that much. But I really want to thank you. If you're listening to this, thanks for your support. Send me your notes. Send me your feedback. podcast@tkjingles.com. Let me know what you like. If you like this new interview thing that's going on, let me know that. If you want to hear something else, let me know that too. This last episode with Gary Braun, before the best of last week, we reached number 148 on the iTunes comedy chart. So that seems like a pretty big number, but honestly, the fact that this podcast charted on iTunes, this international, capability that folks listen to, is pretty awesome in my book. So 148, I'll take it. We're not going to get to Adam Carolla levels with a podcast about stupid orange bald man songs. So that's pretty spectacular. And then on Tony news, there's been a lot of debate this past week. Andy Poley on his show said that it was a done deal. Tony is coming back the Tuesday after Labor Day. Just write it down. Don't worry about it. He didn't understand why people are making such a big deal about it. It is agreed to. It's complete. Gary still has said that, however, it's looking positive, but there's no absolutes here. Nothing has been signed. Nothing is finalized. So take that for what it's worth. I think we're getting closer. Tony will be back. Hopefully he'll be back playing all this stupid crap that I do and everybody else is doing. But regardless, we miss him. It's been a month. I don't know how the next month is going to go by without this. There's really nothing else to listen to that compares to this. On the topic of my silly stuff, so I've written 150, 160, some asinine number of songs about Tony Kornheiser and his radio show and all of his buddies and stuff. And in the past few weeks, I've started branching out into some different topics. And it really has helped me understand the subjectivity and, just the nature of the whole parody business, that it's not for everybody. And it really is, it's hard to socialize and get out there unless you have some vested interest in the material. So I wanted to thank Zach Freshwater and some of the folks at Busted Coverage. They featured my LeBron Once Love song that I put together, which is, we'll play a little bit later here, was one of my, kind of different songs. It's pretty long, and it's about LeBron James and his twist from, hey, I'm patient, I'm coming home, I want to build a champion, and I know it's not going to be easy. I want to mentor the young guys, it's going to be great, to like 48 hours later, I want Kevin Love, get him over here. So that, that really pissed me off. And as excited as I was for LeBron to return, that's kind of how it was 4 years ago. So you know, here we go again. And, you know, LeBron is the GM and he's going to be making his demands and he's the best player in the world. So, you know, that's, it is what it is. And if they win a championship, I'll applaud it. But, you know, that kind of frustrated me. So I put together this song. I also have been trying to share it with other folks that I thought would be interested. And Dan Devine over at Yahoo, Ball Don't Lie. I mean, what a dick. This guy, I just sent him a tweet saying, hey, you guys put up stuff all the time, you know, YouTube videos, SoundCloud stuff, just things that people might find funny that are related to basketball. Today it was announced that LeBron and Kevin Love will be reunited in Cleveland. I put together this silly song. If ever there was a day that this was appropriate, I thought this would be the day. And Dan, you know, he retweeted it. He was nice enough to send it out, but the caption, the tweet was, if you like 4-minute parody songs, this is for you. And, you know, honestly, what a bullshit thing to say. I mean, that's just so damn rude. You don't even tweet it out at that point. I mean, that's the worst non-endorsement. When Bill Hacka said that this was the best, you know, TK Jingles podcast he ever heard, that was funny. He was, you know, that was tongue-in-cheek. Dan Devine's tweet was just a dick move. I mean, just, it's like Weird Al has a new single. Hey, here's a new 3-minute parody song. Hope you enjoy it. No, you know, it's here's Word Crimes. This is a funny parody of Blurred Lines. That's what you say. So anyway, it just really underscored the fact that this stuff is really so subjective. And the fact that you put yourself out there. I've always felt that these parodies are best if they're 30 seconds, 60 seconds, not belaboring the point. But this LeBron song, I really could have gone on for 7 minutes, 10 minutes. There's so much material about LeBron and his buddies and Cleveland and everything that's gone on there that I feel that it carries for 4 minutes. So anyway, I'm going to play that here to open the show. And then we have 6 awesome jingles from Brad Weiss, Joe Arrow, and John Fitzpatrick. Then we're going to have a great interview with Shad, followed by the final recap of 31 and 31 and a spectacular mailbag. Hope you enjoy it.
I want love for a new big three. Me and Kevin Love and young Kyrie. I want love for Andrew Wiggins. When I said I'd be patient, I was kidding. I want love 'cause I'm the king. Don't care about your future, I just want rings. Now that I made my decision, I might opt out next year. The clock is ticking. Get some scrubs from the Utah Jazz. Trade them all, throw in some picks, expiring deals, send them all to flip. I want love at the cost of everything. He's the one I want, Kevin Love. I want love, so make the trade. He'll help us stretch the floor and win some games. A big like Kevin makes things happen. He can rent one of 80 rooms at my home in Akron. I want love. He's a special guy. I want love. Don't let me down. Don't screw this up. Don't piss me off. I'm coming home. That was damn good PR, but now I want to win. I want love. We won't beat the Spurs without Kevin. I learned that lesson in 2007. So give me love to play basketball. Just don't trade any clients of my friend Rich Paul. If you don't make this deal, it will be so much harder. I'll have to spend another June with Maverick Carter. I want love, but if he lets me down, I'll give up like in Game 6, like how I quit against the Celtics. I'll write a letter that says, screw you, Dan, and I'll write it all in Comic Sans.
I'm taking my talents to Akron, but you better give me Kevin Love. All right, I hope you enjoyed that. I know this is all so subjective, but I had a Twitter conversation this past week about jingles, and somebody saying, hey, that's the best one you've done, or that one's not so good. You know, it really, to me, whatever I'm working on in any given week, any given day, to me is the best thing I've done. So right now, that LeBron Once Love song in my book is the best I've done to date. You know, I really try to put everything I have into these things. I love doing it. It's so much fun, as silly and you know, from a outside perspective, stupid as it may be. You know, I really enjoy doing it. So I hope that it continues to meet the standards and everything else that's been established over the past 18 months. And thank you for indulging me and listening to that. So now I'd like to get to the some of the songs from the past week here. Brad Weiss, Joe Arrow, John Fitzpatrick have really helped carry the torch here at the end of July and into early August with new material to keep this thing going. We got about 3.5 or so weeks until Tony comes back, so we need new material and things for folks to listen to, and you guys are doing a great job. So we're going to start here with Brad Weiss, Hooked on a Feeling, which is hilarious. And then Someday Soon by Joe Arrow. Rockville 2014 by Joe Arrow, a parody of Miami 2017, which is a very poignant look at the end of the show. And then Peaceful Easy Feeling by John Fitzpatrick and Bill Bardo. Foxy Lady by John Fitzpatrick. And then a Neil Diamond parody, I Am, I Said, by Brad Weiss, which actually was going to be the intro song of this week's podcast until I heard this, and it was just so good that I said, you know what, I need to go write a song to something different by Neil Diamond, because that song has been done and it's really good. So enjoy.
Narasetti, Raju, Raju, Narasetti, Raju, Raju, Narasetti, Raju, Raju, Narasetti, Raju, Raju, Narasetti, Raju, Raju,
Narasetti. I'm not paid for writing. They had enough of me. Now I love to yodel, although not for free. All those good times on the radio, they'll soon pay up, or I'll have to go. I'm no longer typing. I find most things frightening, but you keep listening. I like your ancient candy. A Zagnut would be fine. That stuff makes me thirsty for more Calvert Woodley wine. I'm still as rich as Croesus, but they'll be paying more. Andy Poli said so, so it must be true. On the Bay Bridge, with my eyes shut tight, I talk out loud, then I feel alright. I'm no longer typing. I find most things frightening, but you keep listening. all those good times on the radio. They'll soon pay up, or I'll have to go. I'm no longer typing. I find most things frightening, but you keep listening. I'm no longer typing. I find most things frightening, but you keep listening. I'm no longer typing. I find most things frightening, but you keep listening.
There's an old man that I know, his age is 85. You'll find him lounging near a hoover, or maybe playing golf somewhere. I hope he's still alive someday soon. Hope he comes back someday soon. My wife, she cannot stand him when he's on the radio. She doesn't seem to understand my fascination. She hates how I change all the words to every song I know. Someday soon, Tony, come back someday soon. When he's on the tube, it just doesn't feel the same way. Maybe if they read some faxes, I'd watch them every day. So come back, Mr. Tony, to your radio show. Negrelli's threatening to write lots of food songs. We need some emails and some notes and Sheehan's dates for snow. Someday soon, hope you come back someday soon. Heard the last show down in Rockville. It's been about a month or so, and life went on for Mr. Porthouser. He drove his Cadillac across the bridge real slow. He held a podcast down in Annandale, where jingles and the mailbag flow. The fax lines all went down, and Tony left the town, but Jerry went right on with the show. Oh, oh, oh. There an update from down in Rockville? When will his new deal be complete? Hey Jerry, are you there for Michael's wedding day? If so, please ask around and maybe send a tweet. For now we all sit back and wonder, if Courtney ever comes again. We'll land review the flicks. Will we hear monkey pics? Or could this really be the end?
I hate the way that I have to drive across the bridge over the bay, but I wanna get to my beach house tonight. And I don't want to go the long way. It gives me an awful queasy feeling, but I don't want to stay in town. I really wish I was standing on the ground. Found out a long time ago that I don't like to fly on a plane. Ah, but that plane can take me anywhere, so long as I'm bombed on Ativan. And I got an awful queasy week I'm California bound. I really wish I was standing on the ground.
Tony.
Is sweet. I grill meat most of the week. It's a thing I call payback. Days go slow and red wine flows, but you know I keep wondering if they're gonna have me back. Well, I'm Hewlett High School's favorite son, but that's all done, now I'm just lost at sea. Rehoboth Beach is just a thing, but Rockville brings the sandwiches for free. Don't you know who I am, I said, but no one cares. Not even affirmation from the chair. Don't you know who I am, I cried. Ahem, said I. Can't they just make an offer? Why won't they try? This must be how Junior feels.
It's August 11th, and those six songs are six of the best songs we've had in the past year. It's awesome. Here we are in the middle of summer with no Tony show, no reason to even write these things other than maybe being on the website or for me to play. And we've got some of the best material we've had all year. Just awesome. I love it. Thank you, guys. Great job. The shout-outs there periodically, I really appreciate. And just fantastic work by all three folks there. And well, four, including Bill. Really good stuff. So now I wanted to segue into an interview here with Shad, who has been writing haiku, sending emails, making phone calls to the Tony Kornheiser Show for 20 years. And Shad is a stalwart and standard of the show, may as well be a medium slash big, whatever you want to call it himself. I mean, without Shad, or as I always thought of him, Chad, because I thought Tony had some bizarre, pretentious affectation to the way that he pronounced his name. Anyway, Shad's been a great part of the show. And after talking with Gary a few weeks ago, I really wanted to just share a brief conversation with Shad here, who I met a little while ago, and is a really nice guy, and has a lot of great stories about his time participating on the show and meeting Tony and everything else. So without further ado, I'm going to cut to a interview with Shad already in progress. I hope you enjoy it. All right, Shad, welcome to the TK Jingles podcast. I wanted to thank you for coming on and being the second guest to join me here.
No problem. Nice to hear from you again, Jer.
And got a bunch of questions today that folks have sent in. I wanted to start out, actually, though, with a haiku that was sent in from Michael Z that I think sets the right tone for this conversation. He says, how did you start with, and do you write more than just haikus for Tony?
How did I start with? Well, I think probably the easiest thing to do is to start with my first email that I sent in to the Tony Kornheiser show. And because you asked me to do this, I went back to the old memory banks and I did recall it and stuff. And it wasn't a haiku, but the first email that I sent in was in response to, I believe it was Elizabeth's bat mitzvah. He was talking about that on the air, and my first
email. What year was that?
Oh, geez, it's got to be probably 93. Maybe 94. I did start right in the beginning in 92, and there were now the emails and faxes were a relatively small part. Calling in was the much bigger part, and there were about five or six callers that I would call regular callers that called every day. There was an older man named Sam that came on. He was clearly been drinking early in the morning, and he sang songs. There was a guy named Ronnie the Cop who actually got his own show. And to me, that is the greatest emailer of all because Ronnie got his own show. And they were almost intimidating. I mean, because Ronnie was so knowledgeable about sports, and him and Tony would have 5 to 10 minute conversations on things that I just thought was, I mean, as good as, you know, his conversations with any of his regular guests that he has on. And so I never really wanted to call, and I just was kind of a fan. But he started talking about his daughter's bat mitzvah. And I think, again, 93, probably about then. And it recalled, and for me, it recalled a story of a young man that I knew when I was 12 or 13 years old named Brian Rosenberg, and Brian Rosenberg's bar mitzvah. And Brian was an odd kid. I got to know Brian because my sixth grade teacher became very sick during my sixth grade year. And we had a series of substitutes. And one of my substitutes, I think it was the lady that we had every Wednesday and Friday, was Mrs. Rosenberg. And through her, I met her son, Brian. And Brian was a rather odd kid. And the one connection that we had together was I had a set of HO scale trains set up in my basement. These are the ones slightly smaller than the Lionel trains.
All right.
And by the time I was 12 or 13, I really had outgrown these things. And the basement in our house was where our cat litter boxes were, and it was not a pleasant place to go. But Brian loved these trains, and he would come over to my house and literally would disappear down in the basement. I would go down there for a few minutes with him, but go upstairs. My mom would come home. She said, "Who's in the basement?" Brian playing with the trains. So we're coming up to his bar mitzvah, and almost every conversation is about how he wants trains for his bar mitzvah. My parents are absolutely going to oblige him because they're sick and tired of him sitting in the basement all the time. We'd literally invite him for dinner, and you'd say, "Brian, we're having dinner." And he'd, "I'll be up in a sec, I'll be up in a sec." And he would just keep playing with the trains. Even when I was at his house, an uncle or an aunt would call, and, you know, "You're studying your Torah portion. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But don't forget HO scale. They're not the big Lionels. I want trains. I want tracks. I want the houses. I don't care which ones. Just HO scale, HO scale." So, okay, his bar mitzvah is coming up, and of course, my parents, they go out and they get him the big set. You know, this is the one with the train, with the transformer, with some tracks, all the stuff, so he can at least get started. And I remember going to the synagogue, and I was only going to go for the ceremony. There was a small reception afterwards for the family, and I was not invited to this. My parents did not know the Rosenberg, so I was the only one that went. Brian only had a couple of friends, so, you know, I think I went with one or two of them. And I come in there, and, you know, I got the big Goyim, you know, wrapping paper on the train set, probably had Santa Claus on the outside because that's what we had extra. And I get to the synagogue and to temple, and I, you know, he's back with the rabbi getting ready for everything. And there's somebody out there meeting the people as they come in. And I say to them, you know, and I got this giant box with me. I say, you know, where's the gift? You know, where should I put the gifts? Is there a table for them and stuff? And I'm directed to a room. And I'm telling you, even at that moment, I walked into that room and there was a table. And on that table, instead of a bunch of boxes, was probably 100 envelopes. And I even thought at that second, Brian ain't going to like this. Because I even remember him saying to people on the phone, you know, it's great you're going to give me some money, but I really want the train stuff. So we go through the entire ceremony. It's Orthodox, I think, or conservative. It took 3-4 hours. We get to the, and they're going to open the presents there. All right. I'm going to stay for the opening of the presents, and then I'm going to split. And they're going to have their little reception and stuff. And he starts off by opening all of the envelopes. And this was a fairly wealthy family. I do recall, and this is probably 1977, 1978. I do recall there were two checks for $10,000 from his grandparents. And probably another $5,000 or $10,000 in 100s, 200s, and stuff like that. So he slowly and methodically opens up each one of these, slowly and methodically, thank you, aunt, thank you, uncle. And he finally gets to mine. And by this time, it's rather late. And we're standing in the lobby of the temple, and I can see my dad. He's outside waiting in the car. He knew when to come pick me up and stuff like that. And I can see him just waiting out there, and I'm kind of giving him the high signal. I got my coat on, and it's the last gift. And Brian opens up the thing, and it's, of course, it's the HO train set. And he looked at me and gave me, you know, an odd little hug that two 13-year-old boys might give each other and stuff. And he grabs the stack of checks and money, which was fairly large, and he kind of fans it out a bit. And he looked at everyone else, and he said, "I said over and over again, all I wanted was trains." And he took that stack and he tore it in half. And it was like, like a home run ball. Half the people jumped for it, but the other half jumped away. Well, I think half went for his neck and the other half were fainting at that moment. He grabs the train set and grabs me and starts, and I'm sitting there just in shock. He grabs and he starts walking me out the door towards the car. My dad's kind of, I can see him looking at it like, what's Brian doing coming here? So we walk to the car, I jump in, and I said, Dad, just get out of here. Just got, there's uncles, there's his dad is running after us and stuff like that. And we go to our house. It was only about a mile away, and about 15 minutes later, the family shows up and comes, picks him up. So it was that story that I wrote out, and I wrote it out in a much more condensed version. And that was the first thing I ever sent it. It was the first thing I ever sent it. And he really liked it. He really liked it. And it meant something that he, you know, he's like, wow, this guy's Shad. And I tried to be funny, and I tried to be, you know, all those things that, you know, listen, why do we do this? We do this because I believe that, like most of the other emailers or jinglers, we think Tony is really smart. And if he likes your stuff, that must mean you're kind of smart too. It is affirmation, baby. I mean, whoever came up with that phrase absolutely nailed it with that. And that was the first one I sent in. The haikus kind of started a little bit after that. Like I said, I was kind of intimidated by some of the callers and some of the emailers. And I kind of felt that I needed my shtick. And I thought that the haiku would fit. I don't recall why I knew about haikus. I guess everybody knows 575 or something like that. And the other thing was that they came relatively easy to me. I mean, they kind of just popped in my head. And every time Tony would say something like, believe I had that. And I was like, oh, five syllables there. And a kid goes, I love. Oh, five syllables. I would kind of sketch these phrases down and try to integrate them into the haikus and stuff. I also have always felt that, listen, the mailbag, I love hearing lots of different emails and stuff like that. And I figure with the haiku, listen, all I need is 10 seconds. All I need is 10 seconds, and that generally is enough for me. And I figured, hey, that's good enough. And listen, it's also somewhat strategic. If he's only got a little bit of time left, he's not going to be able to read that two paragraph, you know, email, but he can squeeze the little haiku in there.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I think the same goes for the jingles. I think sometimes they can get up to a minute and a half, but if you just have it.
From the emailer's perspective, I think we would like to have you guys keep it to about 40 seconds. I think that's about the optimum length of one of those.
That's the threshold,
there.
Huh?
There you go.
Respect the legacy. So all right. So back in 93, 94, you started sending an email and haikus. Mm-hmm. How many, so Tony's been on and off the air, periodically. I know in the beginning, when did Andy Poley join that show? In the night?
That was very early as well. He joined very early, and he was the newscast guy. He was doing what Kevin does now.
So
and
Poley, Andy was, I thought, Poley wasn't a big fan of, all the callers and the emails.
Oh, God, no.
Like that.
He used to call us cockroaches. Oh, he just hated us. He just hated us. Ronnie the Cop was great, but there were a lot that came in with their opinions that were relatively stupid. There were people that got through that, you know, so what do you think about the Redskins' chances this week? Tony doesn't want a question like that. You know, that doesn't make for very interesting radio either. So, no, Andy hated us. I think... in a good-natured way, I think we kind of stole some of his thunder. And listen, we busted on him. We busted on him. So, I mean, I understand. I understand. But he clearly has come around. He clearly has come around.
But you actually have started writing haikus to Andy as well now. So are you a regular feature on that show? I don't listen to Andy's AM show.
No, I mean, I send in about one or two a week, and he seems to – I get about 100% of them read. I do it – well, I'll tell you why. And it's one of the things that I absolutely miss most about the Tony Kornheiser show, and that is the immediacy of sending something in and having it read right then and there. I mean, there was a time when you used to fax stuff in, and these were the old thermal faxes that would take, you know, 30 seconds. And I remember sending haikus in where he would literally, you could hear the fax machine, you know, spitting out the fax on the other end, and he would read a line, and it would spit out a couple, you know, inches more. He would read the second line. It would spit out a couple more inches, and then he would read that third line. And there was something incredibly powerful about that immediacy of that. And now with the, you know, with the live version of the Tony Kornheiser show. You don't get that. And you know what? You get that with Andy's show. And I do it via tweeting, and literally have sent something out in a tweet to Andy, and within 5 minutes he's got it on the air. And there's, like I said, there's something powerful about that. I think there were certain emailers that were particularly good at that. Neil in Rockville was particularly good at that. Dr. Mike Gessner, Dan O'Connor, the guy from who's always Tony's huge in Hagerstown, a guy named Joel from Iowa, Marley Kiss he's known as. They were all really good at these kind of immediate type reactions to something on the show. And that, there was something cool about it. There was something that, wow, look at, I did something here. And they're talking about it on the radio 5 minutes later. And yes, it is nice to get something read the next day, but that immediacy, that loss of immediacy to me is one of the one things I really miss about the show. But you get that with Andy. Andy is absolutely live, and it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool.
I think for me, the time slot kind of killed that. Other than, you know, they don't record live necessarily anymore, but being from 10 to 12, I've got a job. It's so hard for me to listen to headphones or do something like that and listen to it live. So,
yeah, as a professor, when I'm teaching my class, I try not to listen to the show. There are a few times that I've, you know, even proctoring an exam, I've got one ear I probably shouldn't be saying this, but I got one ear in the listening to the show, and I'm watching the kids not cheat and stuff like that. Yeah, but now sometimes it's tough for me depending on my schedule, but my schedule changes every semester. So
that immediacy. So there was a time when the show was live, and certainly at a different time. And I think you mentioned once that you were almost fired for a call you made during that time. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. A couple things were in play here. Tony knew that I did my undergrad at the University of Arizona, 1981 to 1985. Go Wildcats! And in the early 90s, the Arizona Wildcats had a kind of a bit of a history of choking very early in the NCAA tournament. For anyone that is a University of Arizona grad, Steve fucking Nash and Mount St. Mary's or St. Mary's, whatever, took us out. I believe they were a 14 seed. Arizona was a 3 seed. And Tony would bash Arizona all the time as choking dogs, stuff like that. And I would call in and try to defend them. But he almost always, when I did call in, he would almost always end the conversation with, "Hey, Shad, the girls, the undergrads at Arizona, they're pretty good looking, weren't they?" And I would say, "Oh yeah, very good looking." So next time I called and Arizona happened to come up, I had prepared a line. You know, I knew he was going to ask me again about the women at Arizona, and I said to him, and I stole this line from a Nick Lowe song. And in the song, Nick sings how he stopped, turned, looked, and doubled back. And I thought that was such a beautiful lyric, but it was also exactly what happens when you stop, you turn, you look, and then you double back. Because, oh, wow, who is that? So I said, you know, Tony, the girls were so damn good looking at Arizona that at least 5 times a day, you would stop and turn your neck so hard to see one that you could cause a permanent injury. And he laughed at the line, and I laughed at it, and I hung up. And I went back to work, and I'm sitting there for a couple of minutes, and all of a sudden I get a knock on my office door. I had made this was, again, when the show was in the morning, so I'd made the call from work. And I get a knock on my door, and my boss is standing there, Dr. Sharon Fechter, and she says to me, "So, Shad, how's work going today?" And I said, "It's going fine. We're doing well." I was running a program for working adult learners. It was a Master's of Business Administration program in the evening for a now defunct college called Mount Vernon College up on Foxhall Road. And I said, "No, things are going great. We got I think it was, you know, just as the semester started, we got everybody settled. All the financial aid stuff is in order and stuff." And she said, "Oh, that's good." And then she said, "Shad, how good looking are the girls at the University of Arizona?" And she said, "My husband Tom was in the car and he started laughing so hard, but he had to pull the car over and call me and tell me what you're talking about." She thought it was fine. She did say, "Listen, if anyone else from the college has heard this, you know, I can't protect you. It was kind of stupid what you did." And I said, "I understand that. But then again, there were probably only 12 people listening and nobody else from the college ever heard it. So it stopped right there. My Mr. Tony or Mr. Shad moment there. And I think it was at a party. It was the first time I was ever recognized for it. You know, for probably 15 years. Well, there was a stretch there in the early 2000s that I really just didn't listen to the show. Busy at work, my kids took up much more of my time, and I just kind of laid off the show for about 5 years, I guess. But up until actually probably the last 5 years, my family did not know that I sent anything into the Tony Kornheiser show. They did not know that stuff got read on the air. They didn't know anything about it. I just felt that they don't care. My wife never found him to be that interesting. I would share the articles with him. Maybe she liked the style one or something like that, but she didn't like his sports stuff. And frankly, they didn't care. But I remember, I think I was at a party and I was introduced to someone and said, "Hey, this is Shad." And they said, Shad, that name's familiar. Are you one of those people that that listen to Tony Kornheiser's show?" And I said, yeah. I send in some emails too. And the guy says, "Oh, I love that show, man. That thing's really funny. I love the emails at the end that they do. They're hilarious." He said, except those queer little poems, man. Those things are the stupidest fucking things I've ever heard." And I said, "Yeah, they're kind of dumb." And actually, my name is Neil. I'm Neil in Rockville.
Right.
So that's as close as I've ever gotten to kind of a Mr. Tony moment here. And then I bailed and said, "Oh, no, my name isn't Chad. My name is Neil. Neil in Rockville."
Oh, that's classic.
The other thing that's interesting is that I seem to be like the one person that he doesn't use his last name. And now Mike from Burke, that he doesn't use his either. But for a long time, well, sometimes it's just, "Oh, here's a haiku."
Yeah, the only reason I ever used my name is because I thought I was going to do one of these and win some concert tickets, and then that would be it. And that didn't quite pan out, and I kept doing it. So,
well, you know, not everybody can win concert tickets, and there have only been three winners on there. And I'll tell you, that Bruce Springsteen show was an awesome show, and my wife really did appreciate that one there. You'll get one day, buddy. You know, you've graduated up from little. I think you're damn near a middle.
I'm moving on. I'll give away my own tickets.
There you go. There you go.
All right. There's an elephant in the room here. One last thing I wanted to address before we break it here. Is your mother a prostitute?
You know, not anymore. No. My mom was a high school teacher, so I guess in a way, sure, I guess she was a prostitute. She prostituted her mind out for her kids and stuff like that. No, just saw my mom a couple of weeks ago. We were down in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and she is doing fine. She is doing fine there. But I appreciate you asking about her. I appreciate you asking about her, buddy.
All right, Chad. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today, and I've really enjoyed our little chat here, and thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thank you, Jerry, and I'm both honored and humbled, and oh, shit, I haikued.
He's been a fan forever, and he wrote the very first one. He put the words and the syllables together. He is Shad, and he writes haiku. Shad writes haiku that make the littles laugh. He writes haiku about this show's whole staff. He writes haiku at least 10 times a day. Shad writes haiku, he writes haiku. Oh, his haiku make you think. He takes his syllables to the brink. And he wrote some limericks that weren't so great. Haiku are tough to write, but can make you seem really bright. They're for me, they're for you, they're for you, they're for me. It's a type of poetry. Shad writes haiku all day when he gets bored. Shad writes haiku, he leaves us wanting more. Shad writes haiku and he does not get paid. Shad writes haiku, he writes haiku.
Beautiful words, very brief verse. 575 makes him feel alive. It's another haiku, Tony. Shad writes haiku, Tony. 20 years strong, they only get better. He writes 5 every day, like he's paid by the letter. He's still writing haiku, Tony. So Shad. Many haiku,
another haiku, Tony. Another haiku. I can't rap, so I really won't try. Gonna fade this out so I don't embarrass myself.
Thank you so much, Shad, for joining me today. That was a fabulous interview, and I hope that you all enjoyed that. Send me your feedback, podcast@tkjingles.com. Let me know who else you'd like to listen to, feature on a future podcast. So we're running a little bit long here. I'd like to just quickly feature a few of the songs from the 31 and 31 event. You know, it really was a huge challenge for me to try to put together 31 songs for 31 days. Next, here this August, my challenge is to wrap up the custom jingles that folks signed up for as part of my Kickstarter. So those are in the works, folks. Stay tuned. They'll be coming soon, sent to you individually as they're completed. But doing 31 songs in 31 days was really hard. And it was a lot of fun, though. I really got to try to explore some different angles. And that's one of the great things about setting a goal for yourself, is you really can push yourself to do something different. So now I got to figure out what's the next thing I'm going to do here this fall if Tony comes back. So first, I wanted in the 31 and 31 recap, I wanted to play Wichita Lineman, which Brad had done before. But my take on it is probably the most classist thing that I've ever written, because it presumes that a bus driver would be the only one that would listen to Colin Cowherd and Mike and Mike. So I apologize if this offends you. But in retrospect, as I wrote it, I thought, oh, that's kind of insulting. I mean, who else would listen to Mike and Mike? That's terrible. I mean, nobody listens to that shit. Then we have Summer Highland Falls, one of my favorite Billy Joel songs, about the end of the show for the summer, followed by Gin Blossoms, Hey Jealousy, My Plea to ESPN 980 to please renew Tony's contract.
I am a driver for the district, and I run the U Street line. I love to listen to Colin Cowherd and Mike and Mike. But every day from 10 until noon, a voice disturbs my scheduled drive. And an angry old orange man just grumbles and whines. They say that this is not the best of shows, but it's the only show I've ever known. I never heard listener phone calls and don't know what you mean by Death Star Radio. But I remember Kevin Stamfield's movie reviews and how David Byrd would fill in every show or two. And at this point, I'm just hoping Tony comes back. Mr. Tony, we want more of you.
Everybody knows that this show stinks, and the station's run by clowns, and
though I don't expect too much from them. They always let me down, 'cause all I really want is no delay, to hear the same day show each day. They could have fixed all of that years ago, but they're so stuck in their ways. So please just let us know that you're on track to sign a new contract. Tony's gone, but someday he'll be back if he gets paid. Hey, 980. Hey, Danny. Hey, 980. Listen to my song.
Gives me so much pride and joy and honestly annoyance that Eva is the biggest fan of the show, my two-year-old daughter. Every time we're in the car driving anywhere, she demands to hear Bald Orange Old and Gray or some other miscellaneous random jingle, to the point that I hate some of these songs that I've written. She wants to hear them so often. So Eva, thank you so much for your support with your own custom mailbag jingle. All right, so we have a great mailbag today. I wanted to start out with some iTunes reviews. If you like this podcast, please leave a review. I would love to read your review on this show. The first is by NC Little. He says, great summer substitute for my Mr. Tony fix, but could you please throw in some random traffic report or maybe just directions to someplace I'll never go? That's awesome. All right, then a review of the Android app. It says, if you didn't know, there's mobile apps on Android, iPhone, or Windows. This says, the Citizen Kane of TK Jingles apps, Turkey and Ham on Rye. Fantastic. Then we have a review of the iPhone app from Steve. He says, take more calls and interviews. Athletes. That's good. All right, now we got some email here. We got some really long emails. I'll try to plod through these here as best I can without taking up too much time. But we have some really good emails, and I don't want to shortchange them. So the first one is from Clay. He says, I listened to the interview with Gary and I loved it. I think you did a great job. I also want to let you know that by ending the last email with a phrase that you specifically mentioned in earlier episodes, getting better, I really didn't mean that you were bad in the beginning, but more about liking your Thursday show. And you gain more experience by doing more episodes. You're improving, which again is not to say that you were bad, but rather feeling more comfortable. Specifically, as Gary said in the interview, Mr. Tony does it to entertain himself and those in the room. I know you're doing this because you're entertaining yourself. I'm telling you that you're entertaining us too. Thanks for doing what you were doing. Clay, thank you a lot. Absolutely. After concluding the interview with Shad, I had to just rush downstairs and tell Michelle that I really am enjoying this. It takes up way too much time. The songs already take up enough time, but to start adding all these interviews and all the nonsense with the podcast is a lot of effort. So to get notes like that, podcast@tkjingles.com, to get that kind of feedback really means a lot to me, to know that somebody's listening and that you're enjoying this nonsense and that it's really worth doing despite the meager compensation I may get for doing it. I really enjoy doing it. I also met with my boss earlier in the day just to catch up on some work items, and he brought up that he wasn't mentioned last show. So, Walton, I'm still thinking of you. You're near and dear to my heart, treasuring, every time I think of doing this podcast, I think of you. So, you know, you're a great person and a great man and a great human being. So thank you so much for your support. But, you know, you didn't write me email, so otherwise, what else am I going to mention to you for? All right, so then we have another email here from Lee Jansen. He says, this website is exactly what it's supposed to be, a great place to go to listen to the plethora of uber-talented individuals who are also fans of Tony, an oasis of sorts which is especially needed during TK's long summer hiatus. While not every song is perfect as a collection, I believe the songs in this website reflect not only the flavor of the show we love, but several stand on their own as masterpieces. Thank you, Lee. I know that Brad, John, KJ, Joe, Patrick, all the people I've forgotten, really appreciate that feedback. They put up so much material, put so many hours of labor into it. So it's great to hear that feedback. Note from Tom Miskiewicz, who has been one of my most ardent Twitter supporters I can't tell you, folks, how much it makes me happy to have a tweet favorited or retweeted if there's something you agree with or like to share with your friends. So please follow me on Twitter at Jerry Negrelli. Let me know what you think and interact with me on there. I'm very active and love to hear what you think. So anyway, Tom says, I was wondering if you've listened to This Podcast Stinks on iTunes, put out by Satchmo at This Podcast Stinks on Twitter. He's been doing best of shows for over the summer. He is including all of the jingles. He's also the one podcast that I get the show from. Never a delay, maybe an hour or two sometimes, but never more than a few hours. And in fact, if it's going to be a long delay, he lets people know. I have so much respect for all you guys and the hard work you do for the entertainment of others. Thanks again for the great interview with Gary. Would love to hear an uncut version because I'm sure there was some good stuff that went on the cutting room floor. I assure you, there was some stuff. But like everything else I do, whether it was good is questionable. But thank you so much, Tom, for that feedback. Brian says, hey, Jerry, since Tony's off the air, I figured I'd send this to you. Not sure if you're interested in incorporating a news segment in your podcast. I'm not, at least not yet. But this article would be worthy of a mention. Apparently, this guy was so enraged by his neighbor's fire pit that he stabbed it with a novelty sword. Maybe as Tony is right about fire pits and their inherent dangers. And there's a link to a Yahoo News article about a man who stabbed someone with a sword over a fire pit argument. That's awesome. Brian, thank you for sending that in. If this podcast ever expands when Tony retires or whatever the hell else happens in my life, I will be sure to incorporate a news segment. And then lastly, we have an email from Jared Schofer. He says, please read my name, Jared Schofer, on the air. I love TK Jingle so much that I added about 150 of them to my mini iPod so I can listen to them while I'm running. Well, I've started to experience a new sensation which I thought you would appreciate. I'll be out for a run, and I'll hear the beginning of a song that I know has been jingled, and then I'll get extremely disappointed when it turns out to be the actual original song instead of a TK jingle. What a bummer. Jared, I hear you. That's a problem I endure every day as I listen to music and try to think of new stupid songs to write for Tony and for you all who listen. So thank you so much for sending that email. All right, folks, we've reached the end. Another, for me anyway, very fun episode of the TK Jingles podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll be back here next week with a very special guest. The goddess of the Tony Kornheiser Show will be paying us a visit. If you have questions you'd like to ask her, send me your feedback, your thoughts, podcast@tkjingles.com. Let me know, and I'll be sure to incorporate it. I think the only question that I won't ask is your mother a prostitute? Because that's probably a little bit too close to the subject matter of her career. But we will be having a fun conversation next week, folks. So please send me your thoughts, send me your notes. Let me know what you think of this podcast. Tell your friends. Send a note to Nigel. Let him know that you want to hear more mentions about this on the show to spread the word. And I'll be back here next week, August 18th. Hope you enjoy it. Thanks. Bye.
All right, so I sent out, I've never done interviews on this podcast before, and
that's it. That's how you're going to begin the intro. There's no introduction. There's no reset.
Oh no, there's going to be a lead into this that I'll record in my own time. But
okay.
The nice thing about my podcast is that it's not live. Like you guys are really live, so I have the benefit to be able to go back and correct my mistakes. So anyway, why don't we start over?
It's the last song of my stupid show. I threw it in just for you. It's Oasis, if you didn't know. I figured I should tell you. Thanks for listening, I had fun. I've written great jingles, but this isn't one. And I guess that's okay, cause I give this away. Now I'll say goodbye, but I'll be here next week, same place, same time. Send me notes, so next week I'll have something to say.